we multiply what we carry. Michael, a lot of times there's unnecessary strife in a community because it's the anger of what the leader is carrying.
Encouraging, inspiring, and equipping leaders. This is Coach and Joe.
Michael Thornton, let's jump right into it. Talk about Jesus Christ. One of the things that I've noticed when he was on the earth, he stepped into chaos and brought shalom. Let that sink in for a second. I had a friend of mine that told me that their instructor in Israel said, if you want to understand Jesus, understand this. He stepped into chaos and brought shalom. How come so many of his siblings in the kingdom, you know, he's my big brother. How come so many of his siblings, what is it? Why does so many people, why do they step into shalom and bring chaos? Is it from brokenness, bitterness, anger? Where's this coming from?
Oh, I think it can come from a variety of places and sorts. When I think of that, Chad, I think that a lot of times when people step into chaos and they bring more chaos, that's what I've seen happen instead of peace. It just reveals they're not really carrying peace. And, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if we don't have a really good understanding and a revelation of him as our peace, how are we going to carry that into a situation that's filled with chaos? Because the really underlying factor to that, it shows you also how important environments are and that we have authority to actually shift the environment. But that is dependent on what are we stewarding in our own personal life with God.
That's powerful. I want to read a statement. Divisiveness is the fruit of jealousy, and often an angry person is one who stirs up much trouble in a community. Jealousy, anger, I believe, comes from unresolved, unhealed trauma. We all go through stuff, Michael. We all go through it. Your wife is really helping a lot of people at the Garden Greenville just get healed of trauma. Not all levels of trauma are the same. But one of the things I've noticed is a lot of people that end up partnering with the devil that never wanted to in the first place, it's a result of not dealing in the sacred space of the secret place of their own hurt in their heart. The consequences of not dealing with your stuff can actually hurt not just yourself, but a lot of people down the line. Why is it so important to deal with what's going on in here?
It will bleed over. If we neglect what's going on in our own hearts, our own souls, our own perspectives, if there's hurt there, there's jadedness there, and we're not on the path of healing or we're unwilling to heal, we just going to stuff it down, keep moving forward, that will bleed over in every relationship of our life. It bleeds over in our marriage, bleeds over in our kids, bleeds over in everybody we do life with. There's a contagious factor to sin that just spreads like cancer.
I don't like washing clothes.
I don't either.
I just don't like it. I put on a shirt a couple weeks ago and got in the car and was like, what is that smell? It's just sour. Drove down the road a little bit, turned around and came back home. Well, I didn't dry the shirt all the way. And it had been a little bit damp and it got a little bit sour. Here's the deal. Here's what's not good. A lot of times a person cannot discern their own sourness that they're carrying, but boy, your community can. And when that thing's unresolved, it stinks in a community.
Wow.
Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Proverbs 29:22, an angry person stirs up conflict and a hot, same thing. Proverbs 30:33, for as churning cream produces butter and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. We need to deal with our inner world as leaders because what we carry is what we multiply. We don't multiply what we know. We multiply what we carry. Michael, a lot of times there's unnecessary strife in a community because it's the anger of what the leader is carrying. You have been around in ministry for quite a while. Why is this so important for the demand of the leader to be in such an intimate place of connection with the Father?
Absolutely. It's the biblical principle that oil flows from the top down. And so Psalm 133, we see this beautiful picture of what God shows us of what unity really looks like. It's like the oil poured down Aaron's beard, down the robes of his collar. And that passage is really about alignment. It's really about the priestly call that we all have to minister to the Lord. And then out of that place to love and serve one another, that there's an alignment piece. And so when a senior leader, a a top leader, a top manager, an executive, when they're rightly aligned, I'm not saying they're perfect, but they're on the journey of managing their own hurts, offenses, getting healed, that oil will flow to the rest of the organization.
When Paul tells Titus in Titus 3, 10, and 11 to deal with the person, this is me paraphrasing, that perhaps has not dealt with their own inner trauma, pain, anger, and they start stirring up conflict. And after you've warned them a couple of times, have nothing to do with the divisive person. So when Paul is training that leader to do that, basically, in order to do that, if you read it all in context, especially when he starts talking about elders, those that lead best in the kingdom of God don't have any self-will. I could prove to you, if I had time, in the Greek, a person who's stirring up conflict, they are full of self-will. I literally could trace it to selfish ambition, jealousy. James 3:16 wow. says, where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there's every evil work. This is tied into the factious man in Titus 3, 10 and 11.
Wow.
What do you got there?
Yeah, I just stirred up because what you're bringing, what I'm seeing, and it really comes down to surrender, doesn't it? And there's levels of surrender.
Yes.
And if we're not fully surrendered,
take your time here.
Come on. If we could say, yeah, I surrender to following you, Jesus. I surrender to being part of a church. I surrender to reading my Bible daily. But you're requiring me now to surrender maybe a relationship, surrender maybe a friendship, surrender. That's a lot to ask, Jesus. That's a lot of surrender. And that, what I'm hearing you say, Chad, is that that's where our opinion, that's where our self-will gets in the way of our surrender. And it actually, it just blocks it. And you're right. I've seen that so many times where people who have maybe 35% surrender in one area, but 40% is not surrendered in another, that person is always going to be attractive for the enemy to cause division through or divisiveness through.
My son Sam's a sophomore at Anderson University. And I said, Sammy, I know we'll see each other a lot, but I just want to give you some advice as you go off on your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. If I could only tell you one thing as your father, and we went to eat some sushi before he left. I said, if my life were over now and my time as your dad on the earth was over, this is what I would tell you. I would tell you, live your entire life by two verses out of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and never lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your paths. If you break that down in this kingdom, I'm not saying the goal is to be stupid. Matter of fact, you have high level of competency, but in this kingdom, you should have no opinions before the Father. Yeah, I listened to a teaching today on the knowledge of good and evil in the tree. And basically, this teacher just traced everything to, if you begin to develop your own opinion, even if, whether the devil's enticing you or not, I don't care. You get in trouble when you follow your own thoughts. We yes. should be in such a submissive posture with the Father of, Father, what do you think about this? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has some extreme words. All your heart and never own your own understanding. We lean a lot on our own understanding, which is the fruit of self-will and yes. self-ambition.
Man, and it gets us in trouble. You know, when that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, when we begin to really walk that out and apply it, what I've discovered is that the submission to other people doesn't become a problem. I'm not saying you submit to every Sari and Hallie in your life, but the people that God ordains and brings in your life that maybe you need to submit and yield to, there's zero problem. There's no opinion that comes in because you're already fully surrendered to the Lord. You're trusting him in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it becomes a natural reaction for you to do that. And I've learned this with God, Chad, is that he'll bring people in our life to test that. He will bring people in our life to test our level of surrender and submission. Mm-hmm. You know what struck me? I was thinking about the garden the other day. Do you remember when God said, when he made Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. Well, the question I was hit with was, but Adam wasn't alone. He had God with him in the cool of the day. God is with Adam, but yet God looked at man, at Adam, and said, no, it's still not good for you to be alone, even though you have me. Because there's so many people that would say, well, if I just trust the Lord and if I just have the relationship with him, I'm good to go. And that keeps a lot of people from submitting to other people when they need to. But God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I need to I need to bring a helper. I need to bring Eve. I need to bring community. I need to bring someone else in your life so you could actually learn how to grow in trust and in faith in me, not just in what we have in the secret place, but by the people I escort into your life.
And I tell you, an inability to submit, honor, listen, go low with the people that God brings in our lives is evidence of where we are with the Father. Mm. There's a couple of things the Father has shown me over the years, and I've realized, okay, wow, I can discern how close someone is in their intimacy with the Father by how they relate to children. It's as predictable as death and taxes. And also, there's another metric that God has shown me. When someone has a dream about someone else, and that person doesn't even want to hear that dream, not even read it, not even entertain it, it's very dangerous to get to a place to where, I mean, if a dog had a dream about me, a cat, that coffee mug, whatever, I want to be open to, Father, are you speaking to me? And many times God will choose packages we don't like to deliver our present.
That's so good.
He will choose packages we don't like. Michael, there is someone that I know very, very well. I mean, I think I had 11 dreams about this person. They never asked to hear any of them.
Wow.
And humility has to look like something.
It does.
And God will not test you by bringing someone into your life that it is just so easy for you to honor. Mm-hmm. He usually sent, not all the time, but most of the time, sends his test in packages that you're like, uh-uh.
The Lord gave me a word about that, and I call it selective submission.
Talk about this.
Sometimes we know there's an understanding that we all have in life, especially if you've been following God at some level for a while. Yielding and submitting to people is part of the process. It's part of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. But what I have found is for some people, it's easier to submit to the leaders they want to submit to. Mm-hmm. Usually that's the senior leader, somebody that's walking in a high level of anointing or gifting or authority or power. And they look at that person, it's very easy for them to submit to. Yeah. But let's talk about the associate leader next to that high level leader. They won't receive from that person. They can't receive from that person because they can only receive from that senior leader. That's what I call selective submission. And basically, we begin to form an opinion of who we're supposed to yield or submit to in the people that God brings in our lives. I see that as a trap that entraps so many people.
Lisa Bevere was told by the Lord, submission is freedom. Mm. You know, at the Garden Greenville, we love to say we enjoy God. I want to add a little tag onto that on his terms. I do enjoy God. Mm. But Michael, I'm not, I know I'm a co-heir. I get it. I know he loves me. But in any covenant, there's always a stronger party. Where has the fear of the Lord gone?
It's a really good question. Well, let's take that back. I enjoy God. We enjoy God. So for somebody that has a not strong biblical view of that statement, they're going to interpret that as, well, he's always going to be happy and joyful. And well, yes, but a stronger biblical view, you understand. But Paul says, I want to know him. In other words, I want to enjoy him through the fellowship of his sufferings, which doesn't really compute with our definition of enjoyment of God, you know, in our culture. So there's some Paul, yes, I want to enjoy God, but enjoying God for Paul looked like, yes, laughing, crying, having those good emotions, but then also really going through some hard, dark night of the soul moments.
Do you know a saying that I've heard over the years that sounds good, but it's also dangerous if you misinterpret it? It's all covered under the blood, brother. Well, hang on. Paul said, many of you die before your time because you did not discern the Lord's body properly. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Many of God's kids leave untapped potential on the earth and do not fulfill the destiny that was spoken over them even before they were born because we're not willing to abide by God's kingdom laws.
Yep.
And there are some decrees, doctrine, whatever you want to call it, immovable truths that we are going to have to go really, really low. Mm. one of the principles I teach is God rarely gives someone something to steward without stewarding another person's dream first. And most of the time, not all, God will make you serve someone that you actually may be more competent than, even closer to God than. God loves to train his leaders through uncomfortable seasons and through uncomfortable people.
Yes.
But hyper grace says that there's no such thing as that. It's all covered under the blood, brother. What is your own story and testimony of learning this principle, Michael?
I learned that God's version of seminary and what we call seminary are two different things. So what we usually call Bible college experience or seminary or some type of Christian education training, you know, it's comprised of classes, great teachers, good content, some applications, some practicums.
Yeah.
But God's version of seminary is what he did with David. And so God anoints David, appoints him, speaks destiny, gives him a plan, gives him a purpose, but then puts him into a place of yielding under a leader that was unjust, unfair, cruel, and harsh. And part of David's journey is, will he be able to yield not just to a good leader, but to a leader that's actually harsh over him? That is what God's seminary looks like. And David's not the isolated example. We see that through the Bible. We see that through church history. God loves to groom men and women through extreme adversity, challenge, unfairness, rejection, abandonment, fear, all of those things God will use as a training ground to build up a man or woman of God.
You know what his favorite style of worship is? Obedience. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. As you are groomed by the Father to be a high-level leader, may you learn obedience along the way. May you realize we are learning how to be obedient. God bless.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and check out coachandjoe.com for more resources, blogs, and merch. We will see you next time.